Start your day, Terry Meister, Chof Aleph, Nachmov, Toshin Pelef, Rebbe Freim, Lewin.
Good morning, everyone. I thank Rebbe Nachum David and his whole team for inviting me here today to speak at Start Your Day the Torah Way. Kol hakavod to them for all their arranging such an amazing program to allow everyone to start their day the Torah Way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them, the whole team, all of them, the koichas and the gezunt to continue allowing us all to gain so much from all these wonderful shiurim that they arrange. Bishus Avi Mori, I'm honored that my father is here with us in person from Eretz Yisrael. And I wish him only nachas, simchas, and gezunt and meir v'esim shana. Now on Fridays, usually one gets to hear some insights of the Parshas HaShavua, and today Be'ez HaShem will be no different. And I want to start at the beginning of the Parsha, Parshas Ekev. V'hoya Ekev tishmu'un eis ha'mishpotim o'ilo shmatim v'asisim o'isom. The Torah tells us that because of our listening to the mishpotim, and doing the mitzvahs, keeping the Torah, then Vahevecha, Uveiracha, Virbecha, Hashem says, I will love you, Hashem will give us brachas, Hashem will bench us, Uveirach, Uveirachacha, Hashem will bench you, Virbecha, and he'll multiply you, Uveirach, Privitnecha, you'll have children, Ufriyanosecha, and your crops will grow, the Gonacha, Vesiroshcha, all your things will grow, your grain, you'll have wine, you'll have oil, all the brachas. That when we keep Torah mitzvahs, Hashem tells us that you'll get all the brachas. Now, I was this week in Chandudno, one of the many times, but I want to share with you something that happened in Chandudno 13 years ago. I was there in Parshas Ekev, and I met the Horodonker Rebbe Shlita, Dorazan Gesund und Stark. And he asked me, he says, I met him there by the shul in Chabad, there in Chandudno, and he says, why does the Torah use an interesting lashon, v'hoya ekev tishmon? The Torah could use a very, v'hoya im tishmon, and it would be, if you listen, then you get all the brachas. Why does it say, v'hoya ekev tishmon? And what does ekev mean? So I waited to hear, obviously he wanted to tell me something, and he told me a very nice pshat. He says, Ekev comes from a lashon of end. Ekev can mean the end. And taka saw Mepharshim bring down that Ekev is a lashon of soif, the end. And he says, V'hoya Ekev tishmon. At the end of the day, said the Aronka Rebbe to me, a pshat like this. You're anyway going to have to listen. You're anyway going to have to do the Torah mitzvah. So you might as well do it now and do it besimcha, do it straight away. You're anyway going to have to do it. V'hoya Ekev, at the end of the day, Tishmon, you're going to have to listen anyway, and if you're going to have to listen anyway, you might as well do it straight away. That's the pshat he shared with me. I saw Taker of Alaturim says a slightly different pshat, also using the Lashon Ekev as meaning the soif, the end. And the Alaturim says like this, he says, if you look at the last two words of Parsha Veschanon, last week's Sedra, it finishes with the words, Hayoyim la'asoysom. Today we need to do them. So he carries on and says about him, V'hoya, what's the smich? V'hoya, Ekev Tishmon. He said like this, in this world we know we have to do the mitzvahs, but when will we get the schar for the mitzvahs that we do? V'hoya, Ekev, that will be at the end, that will be in Olam Haba. So he's using the same notion, Ekev meaning the end. So Hayoyim La'asaysom, we do the mitzvahs here in this world, V'hoya, Ekev, and at the end, in Olam Haba, we'll get the schar for it. And he says very nice, he says that what's the gematria of the word Ekev? 172. And he says if you count how many words there are in Dibros HaRishonis in Parshas Yisroel, the first Aseres HaDibros, there's 172 words. So he says like this, he says if we keep the 100 Ekev, if we keep the 172 words of the Dibros HaRishonis, that means we keep the Torah, then we'll be Zoychat in our bond. He says like this, that's why the Pasuk says, B'shomrom, Ekev, Rav, b'shomrom Ekev, if you will keep the 172, the Ekev, the Dibrei Yisrael Yishayim, to keep the Torah, then Rav, you'll be zeicha to what the Pasuk says, Ma'arav tulcha asher tzafanta l'reyecha. You'll be zeicha to the Olam Haba, the great reward, the great schar Hashem will be'ez Hashem give us in Olam Haba. So that's all this pshat of that today we do the mitzvahs here while we can in this world, and then be'ez Hashem in Olam Haba will receive the schar for it. So that's a second pshat on Ekev. So we had Hoya Ekev, the Adonkar Rebbe's his pshat he shared with me of, if we have to do it anyway, so we might as well do it now. And then we have the Balaturim's pshat, Vahoya Ekev, it means that we'll, the schar that for our mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs that we do here in this world, Be'ez Hashem, we will be zeicha to get to receive it in Olam Haba. Now, of course, Rashi has a different pshat. We all know Ekev comes from a lashon, it's a heel. And Rashi says, Vahoya Ekev Tishmun, Im ha-mitzvahs ha-kalois, Sha'odom dosh va'akev av tishmun. Rashi tells us that there's some mitzvahs that for some reason we think aren't as important or as special or don't give us as much schar and reward as other mitzvahs. And a person might, chas v'shalom, be dosh va'akev av, he'll tread on them with his heel, so to speak. He'll say, ma, they're not important. Why should I do them? I'm going to concentrate on the big mitzvahs, on the mitzvahs that give me great schar. And they bring in the Mefarshim here on Rashi, bring an example, they say, Simchas Yontov, person might think, well, yeah, we should be happy in Yontov, oh, it's such a big mitzvah to be Mesameach on Yontov. A person might, that's an example they bring as a mitzvah, that a person might be dosh by a kevah, might tread on with his feet, so to speak. Kamash Valon says, the Torah v'hoyah, Ekev Tishmon, even those mitzvahs which you might think are not as important, Tishmon, you should listen to those ones as well, because we don't know the schar of mitzvahs, we don't know the value of mitzvahs, we've no idea, and we have to keep all the mitzvahs. So that's Rashi's pshat. And then I want to share with you one final pshat from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that Ekev is the lashon of anova, of humility, being humble. And it brings the pasuk in Mishli. Pasuk says, "Ekev anova yiras Hashem." On the heels of humility comes fear of Hashem. And I'd like to share with you a bit more about this pshat, this fourth pshat, that it means being humble. And the Chaim HaKadosh says, he says, if we want to be zeicha to Torah mitzvahs, we want to really have and really be koine Torah and do mitzvahs properly, it has to come with humility. It has to come with hanova. And that's what he says the Torah is telling us. V'hoyo Ekev. And it will be, if you, Ekev, if you'll have hanova, if you'll have this Ekev hanova, then Tishmon, only then will you understand and properly appreciate and properly be koine Torah mitzvahs. And it brings a beautiful remez. He says that it doesn't say Tishmu, it says Tishmuun. So what does it end with the word, with a nun? Yeah, v'hoya Ekev Tishmu'un. So that nun is 50. So he says, if you want to be zeicha to the 50 Shari Bina, there's 50 levels of Torah, 50 levels of Shari Bina. So v'hoya Ekev, if you have another Tishmu'un, you'll be zeicha to all. You can climb high and high and high and be zeicha to reach the top of v'hoya Ekev Tishmu'un, of the 50th level of Shari Bina. And as we know, there are famous Ramban in his letter, in the Igeres Ramban, the Ramban writes, V'chasheti notzel min akas, when a person will be saved from anger, tale alibcha midas ho'anova, then he'll be able to climb and be able to come to a midah of humility, says Ramban, shehi midah toiva mikol ha'midah is ha'toiva, because, and that's the greatest midah, the greatest trait, the greatest midah we can achieve is this anova, and it's only through that we can be zeicha to Torah. And as the Gemara in Soita, Daf Hei Amud Aleph says, Hashem says, with a person who's a Baal Gaiva, the opposite of anova, opposite of humility, a person who's a Baal Gaiva, Ein ani v'hu yechoin en odo ba'olam. I can't live, Hashem says, I can't live with a Baal Gaiva. So if I care, we need the humility, we need this midah of anova. And I want to share with you a couple of stories, beautiful stories, where we see how our gedolim, our tzaddikim, how humble they were, and therefore it's no wonder that their Torah was accepted and their Torah is learnt right years and years after they've been Nifta. We carry on learning their Torah because, of course, V'hayo Ekev, Tishmon, they were humble, so of course their Torah was an Emes Torah, and their Torah we still learn today. So the first story I want to share with you is about the famous Rameh Shapir. Rameh Shapir was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he founded Chachmei Lublin Yeshiva. And this story happened at the very first Knesia of the Moyetzes Gedolei HaTorah, which was led by the Chofetz Chaim in Vienna, in the Tof Reish Pei Dalet. And you can imagine there was a lot of people went and wanted to hear what the Gedolim were going to say. And it was very squashy, and it was very, very full. The place where they did it was very, very full. And a lot of people wanted to go over to the Gedolim and get brachas from them and speak to them. So what they did was, and you couldn't have everyone running everywhere, so they set up sort of policemen, so to speak, to be Masada and make sure that the Hamoin Am, the people who had come, can't really get access to the Gedolim. The Gedolim were on a platform, and they had people there to manage the Olam, to keep the Olam away. And there was one fellow there who really wanted to speak to Rameh Shapir. And he got his way through, and he's about, and Rameh Shapir saw him, and he said, Rameh. And one of these policemen came and like pushed him away and shoved him away and says, no, you can't come here. So Rameh Shapir saw that he really wanted to speak to him. This Yid wanted to speak to him. And he wouldn't turn away anyone. So he told this sadrun, this person, this policeman, he says, let him pass. He wants to speak to me. Let him pass. So this policeman said, no. It's a simple Jew, Yehudi Poshut, you don't need to speak to him. And Rameh Shapir shook. He said, what? A simple Jew, a Yehudi Poshut? No such thing. Every Yid is so special. Let him pass. And he made him, and he spoke to him, and he gave him brochas. And Rameh Shapir, who was so great, but he found, he considered every single Yid so choshev, so he didn't find himself anything, oh, I'm so special, no one can come and speak to me. And that's the first story. And I want to share with you an amazing story, a beautiful story about the Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where you see the Anivas, it's unbelievable, how you see how humble they were. As we know, the Chasam Sofer, Rav Moshe Sofer, was the Rav in Presburg, which today is Slovakia. And he was of the Gedolei Olam. And when he was young, his wife was Nifta, and he was left alone. And so he was looking for a shidduch. And suggestions poured in from all over Europe, from rich people who promised to support him for his whole life. Everyone wanted to have the Chasam Sofer as a son-in-law. Now, around the same time, Rabbi Akiva Eiger's son-in-law was Nifta. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't know that the Chasam Sofer's wife was Nifta. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger knew the Chasam Sofer, so he wrote a letter to the Chasam Sofer in Presburg, and he says, Lechvoid, the Chasam Sofer, I don't know if you know, my son-in-law was Nifta, and I'm looking for a shidduch for my daughter. And he writes, he said, oh, so, and he said, my daughter's a very special girl, and would you know anyone in your kehillah? He knew the Chasam Sofer was the Rav of the whole kehillah. Would you know anyone in your kehillah who would be a suitable match for my daughter? Now the Chasam Sofer, in his anivas, didn't dream of himself. He passed this letter on to the Rosh HaKol in Presburg, that he should, if Rabbi Akiva Eiger's letter, if there's any shidduch, possible shidduch for Rabbi Akiva Eiger's daughter. He didn't dream about it for himself. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a brother who lived in Presburg. And when Rabbi Akiva Eiger, brother, he said, hey, I can make a shidduch here. Why not the Chasam Sofer? So he wrote a letter to his brother, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he said, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you're looking for a shidduch for your daughter. The God Ladoi, the Chasam Sofer, is looking for a shidduch. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger hadn't known that. Yeah? It wasn't like today's information, but you know, things came up even before they happened. But they didn't know that, and he hadn't known that. So he said, when he heard, Rabbi Akiva Eiger heard that the Chasam Sofer himself is looking for a shidduch. Wow, so he wrote another letter, a second letter to the Chasam Sofer. And he wrote like this. He says, Kafisha kasavti lecha b'mechtovi harishain, like I wrote to you already in my previous letter, my first letter, biti is almana, my daughter's, her husband was Niftan, she's almana, and I'm looking for her, a chosen ben Torah. And you know, I've just heard that the Chasam Sofer is looking for a shidduch. And kol yomai, oyden la Hashem yisporach. My whole life I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyateli chesed, if you do me this chesed, this kindness, v'soyel b'tuvcha liya is chosen abiti. If you, the Chasam Sofer, will agree to marry my daughter, I'll be forever indebted to you. Da'alacha, and you should know, ki biti hi isha yira shemayim. My daughter is a yira shemayim. And she's fitting for a wonderful chosen. But you know something, he writes in his letter, this is what Rabbi Kiv Eger writes to the Chasam Sofer. Lo astir es ha-chisoron sheyesh ba-aviyo. But there is one chisoron, there is one blemish, and I'm not going to hide that from you, I'm going to write that to you. And that is with me, her father. Because Chazal say, the Gemara says in Psochim, Emtesam and Beis, La'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh lo, a person should sell everything he has, ve'yisav bas Talmud Chacham, and he should marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Letzari, writes Rabbi Kiva Eger, he lo yizachsa liyo is bas Talmud Chacham. My daughter's brilliant. She's a Yiras Shemayim. She's got all the middos, everything. But unfortunately, she's not the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, because I'm not a Talmud Chacham, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the God on Olam, the God Ladoir. Yeah? That's what he writes about himself. Ach milvat chisaron zeh, he ends his letter, apart from this one chisaron, that I'm not a Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Eger writes, he klilas ha-mailas, she's got all the mailas. Oh, now, not finished yet. When the Chasam Sofer received this letter, he was so happy. Wow! He's being offered by Rabbi Eger to Aaron, Rabbi Eger's daughter, the God Lado's daughter, and he was so excited about it. So he straightway sat down and he wrote a letter back to Rabbi Kiva Eger. And this is what he wrote. Zechus gedoyla techoshev li. It will be a great zechus im ezke lishtadech imochem for me to marry into such a family, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Ulam, now listen to this, what Chasam Sofer writes. Ulam lo yachacheid v'lo yasti b'fnechem es chashoshi. There's one problem. There's one, and I won't hide it from you. That same Gemara that Rukevi wrote to him that you should marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham carries on and says, V'yasi bitoy le Talmud Chacham. A person should marry off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Uma esa uladava libi lo yizachisi lekach. I'm not a Talmud Chacham, says the Chasam Sofer. Yeah, Chasam Sofer talking, the God Ladoi. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. Choshashani, I'm worried, Shema yesh kan inin shal kolamasi bitalama oretz even. It might be, Rekiva Eger, if you take me as a son-in-law, maybe you're taking ama oretz as a, right? As a chosen, as a, for your daughter. So, Rekiva Eger's brother, the Shadchan of this, said, this is beautiful. The Rabbi Eger says he's not a Talmud Chacham. Chasam Sofer says he's not a Talmud Chacham. So it's not a bas Talmud Chacham. It's not two a Talmud Chacham. In ve'agefen, v'in ve'agefen. And we know the shidduch took place, and then they had the Ksav Sofer and the Shevet Sofer, and from them came a whole lineage, a whole doyrus of gedolim and tzaddikim from that shidduch. From the, so you see the beautiful that novel, how they talked, how they wrote, and it wasn't just a game. It was, they meant it, they meant, they had real anova. It was Eikem anova, Yiras Hashem, you saw them both of them, both of them, Rabbi Eger and the Chasam Sofer. Oh, that leads me to share with you some Torah taka from the Chasam Sofer in this week's parasha. That's what I want. He says, I saw a very nice, beautiful vort that he says, and I would like to share that with the Olam here. Oh. A bit later on in the parsha, by Revi, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying what happened about the Luchos, about the Egel. But Isahi, then he says Moshe, Omar Hashem Elah, Hashem says to me, Psal lecha shnei Luchos avonim, I want you to carve out two Luchos, because again, The first luchos had been smashed when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, and he saw the Yidden dancing around the Egel, and he smashed the luchos, and then he went up to Shemayim for 40 days. And then Hashem when he comes down later, Hashem tells him, I want you to carve out two new luchais, and it says he found under his tent, he found sapphire stone, diamond stone, and he should carve out. Hashem told him, carve out two luchais, avonim korishonim, and bring them up, come up the mountain, and you should, after that, later, a later stage, you should make an oroin for the, that you're gonna bring up the luchos to me, I'm gonna write on them, and then you're gonna take down the luchos, and you're gonna have somewhere to put them. You'll when you come down, you'll make an oroin to put the luchos in. Says Chariz Amo Shabenu, Va'as aroin atse shittim. So what did I do? Hashem told me, carve out luchos and later make an oroin. What did I do? Said Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'as aroin atse shittim. I made an oroin. Atse shittim, shittim wood. Then, the second thing I did, v'efso shnei luchos avonim korishonim, I carved out two luchos, like the first ones, v'al ha'hora, I went up the mountain, shnei luchos b'yodi, the two luchos in my hands, and Hashem wrote on the luchos, etc., etc. What's going on? Moshe is telling us, Hashem told me to first carve out luchos, and later make an oron. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He first made the oroin, and then he carved out the luchos. So Rashi straight away asks, "What's going on?" And Rashi says, "Ba'isa he l'sefar ba'im yoyim." In the end of 40 days, Nisratzeli, Hashem was appeased. Va'omali psal lachar, you should carve out for yourself the luchos. Va'achakach va'sisa lachar oroin. After that, you should make an oroin. Vani, what did I do? Says Rashi, Vani or Sisi Oroin Tchila. Why? Cause Kushe Ovoi Valuchos Biyodi Hechon Etnaim. Because if I do it the way Hashem told me, that I first make Luchos and then I come down with the Luchos and I haven't made an Oroin yet, where am I going to put those Luchos? So I had to do, says Rashi, I had to do it the other way around. I had to first make an Oroin, and that's what I did. I made an Oroin. And then later, then I carved out the luchos, took them up to Hashem. Hashem wrote on them, and I brought them down. I had the oron to put them. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what's going on here? Hashem knows he needs to put the luchos somewhere. So why did Hashem tell him in the first place to carve out the luchos and later make the oron? If you need an oron to put them in, so Hashem should have told him nechatchila, make an oron, then carve out luchos, and you'll have an oron to put the luchos in. So the Chasam Sofer says, beautiful pshat. Oh, and he says like this. Oh. He says there was something else going on here. Something totally different. And he says, I'll read his lashon. It's in Toyos Moshe. His Sefer Toyos Moshe. And he says like this. He says, what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu knew this now? Because when he brought down the first luchos, he says he came down, he saw them serving the egel, and Chazal tell us that the oisios parochos ba'avir, the letters of the luchos flew out of the luchos and disappeared. Because why? Because there was so much tumor in the air, the whole air was contaminated. And it couldn't take the kedusha of those letters that Hashem had put on the luchos. It was too much. So the letters flew away. And then Moshe Rabbeinu took the luchos and he smashed them. Now, Hashem said like this. When we make the new, now we're a bit later on, and Hashem's telling Moshe, make the second luchos. Now those second luchos, Hashem knew, when is he going to bring them down? Only in Kippur. What's that going to be? After the Yidden have been through an Elul. They've been through a Rosh Hashanah, they've heard Tekiah Shofar. They've been through Aser Simei Tshuva, and they've been through in Kippur where they fasted. So Hashem says like this, I'm not worried. You don't need to make an Oren before. The same thing won't happen again. That means you're worried, Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is what Moshe's side was. I'm worried I'll bring a second luchos down, and then the same thing will happen again. They'll still be in the air, although they're not doing the eagle anymore, but they're still, if they haven't done a proper tshuva, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's thought, maybe they won't do a proper tshuva, and if they don't do a proper tshuva, the letters won't stay, and they'll fly out of the second luchos. And Hashem said, it's not a problem. You can take down the Luchos. It'll be after the Bnei Yisrael will do a tshuva gemura. They'll do a proper tshuva, and therefore you can have the Luchos down. And you can have and we'll wait after Yom Kippur. There's going to be a tzivi to make a mishkan, but Tzalah's going to make an oran, and that's the oran that Hashem meant. That first, now carve out Luchos, bring them up the mountain, I'll write on them. You'll bring them down by Yom Kippur after Bnei Yisrael have done tshuva over Elul and Rishona, says to make tshuva Yom Kippur. And then I'll command to make a mishkan, and Bezalel will make an aron, and you put them in that aron. That was Hashem's sign. That's why Hashem told him, first, don't worry about making the aron now. Moshe Rabbeinu on his side, says the Chasam Sofer, was worried. As we always were, like Yaakov Avinu was also worried. Shema Yigre Machet, maybe, although of course Bnei Yisrael are going to do tshuva after they saw the first luchos being smashed. But maybe they won't do a tshuva gemura. Maybe they won't do a complete, proper tshuva. And if they don't do a complete tshuva, then again, what will happen? That when I bring the second luchos down, it'll be too much for the Osios HaKadoshos, the holy letters that are on, and then maybe they'll fly away again. So, says Moshe, I had to make an Oren first, so that immediately when I bring down the second Luchos, I'm going to put them in an Oren, and then the letters can't fly away, because they'll, even if the air is still not totally Torah and Kadosh, but they'll be in a Mechitza of the Oren. So if the Luchos are in an Oren, then the letters won't fly away. So the Chasam Sofer, that was the backwards and forwards here of why Hashem told him you can first make the Luchos and only later make the Oren, and why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that, and he first made the Oren, and then he first made the Oren so it should be ready, that he can bring it down, because he didn't want to lose the letters again of the Luchos. That's one thing he says, the Chasam Sofer. And then I'm going to end with one more final thing he says, Marsh connected to this as well, in the same shtickle here in Toyos Moshe, that the Chasam Sofer ends with a beautiful pshat, and he asks the Kasha, he says, if you look at the Loshon between the first Luchos and the second Luchos, it's interesting, by the first Luchos, it says, find it. Yeah, by the first Luchos, a bit earlier in our parasha, it says, Ushnei Luchos Habris Al Shtei Yodai. The two Luchos Habris were Al Shtei Yodai, were sort of on my two hands. And over here, by the second Luchos, where we're dealing with now, the pasuk says, I quoted it before, it says, Va'al ha'hara u'shnei ha'luchos b'yodi. The two luchos were in my hands. So before, by the first luchos, it says, they were al shtei yodi, they were sort of on my hands. And here it says, they were b'yodi, in my hands. What's this difference, says the Chasam Sofer. So he brings a chazal, and he asks a good question, and with this he answers it. He says, Chazal, tell us. The Ramban brings it, he says, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Yidden, by the first Luchos, when I came down the mountain and I smashed the Luchos, Sikamti ba'atzmi, I put myself in grave danger. Masha shibarti Luchos alekim. I took Hashem's Luchos and I smashed them. That was a huge personal risk. Hashem could have been very angry with me for doing that. And goodness knows what Hashem would have done to me for doing that. But you should know, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden, that my kavana was letoiva. I especially did it letoiva. What does that mean? It was letoiva. Why was it letoiva? So obviously, it was to shock us into stop doing serving the Hager, which we taka got a shock that he smashed the luchos. But even more than that, he brings a medrash. The medrash says, "Oma Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "The medrash Rabba." Moshe said, "Mutav yidoinu saw kipnuya v'lo yidoinu ka'esh ezish." Moshe Rabbeinu especially didn't want to give us luchos. So once he'd given us the first luchos, it's like we're married to the Torah. And if we're married to the Torah and serving the Egel, that's much worse. That's like an Eish Ish. So therefore he was masakin himself and he risked his own personal, because Hashem could have killed him for it, for taking the luchos Hashem gave him and smashing them. And he took those luchos and he smashed them, so it should be that the Yidden haven't got it yet. So they're like penu, they're like not married yet to the Torah. So it should be less of a sin, less of an aveira. The Egel should be that bit less of an aveira because they weren't yet married to the Torah. And I did that at a great personal risk. That's what the Medrash says. Fret the Chasam Sofer, he asks, who says Moshe Rabbeinu smashed them of his own accord? Because if you think about it, says the Chazon Sofer, it could be faket. It could be when the Luchos had Hashem's letters written on them, so they sort of carried themselves. It was like Oroi Noisev, that's Noisov. No one had to carry the Oroi. The Oroi carried the Kohenim or the Levi, whoever was carrying them, the Oroi carried them. My Sin Yeshua, where the Oroi picked up the four Kohenim and transported them over the whole Yarden and over the whole Yidden that were already crossed, because the Yidden, Hashem split the Yarden, the Yidden crossed over, and the four Kohenim holding the Oren was standing on this side of the Yarden, all the Yidden crossed over, then they stepped back out on this side of the Yarden, and the waters came crashing down again, and now the four Kohenim and the Oren were on this side, and the Yidden were on the other side of the Yarden, and then the four Kohenim just held on to the Oren, and the Oren lifted them up as like a helicopter, and transported them right over the Yarden, right over the Yidden to the front of the Yidden, because the Oren was noisov. One didn't need to carry the Oren. Says the Chazon Sofer, it could be the Luchos were the same thing. The Luchos, when they had the letters of Hashem in, then they carried themselves. It was easy for Moshe to carry them, no problem. But once he came down and he saw the Egel dancing around the Egel, and it says the letters flew out. So now they became very heavy. There were six Tvachim by six Tvachim by six Tvachim, two of them. Maybe it was, said the Chazon Sofer, maybe it was just too much for Moshe to hold the Luchos. And therefore he dropped them. So how do you know? And Moshe is telling you, I smashed the Luchos. Ask the Chazon Sofer, how do you know he smashed them? Bekavona. Maybe he poshed it. He just couldn't hold them anymore. And says the Chazon Sofer, and Luchos is mashing the post of that. Because what does the first verse say by Luchos or Yishoinos? It says, I was carrying them. Al shte yodoi. Where were the Luchos? It wasn't as if he was carrying them at all. They were sort of on his hands, because when they had the letters inside them, they were light as feathers. There was no problem. Moshe wasn't really carrying them. They were al shte yodoi. They were just on his hands, because he wasn't really carrying them. Says the Chazon Sofer, that's why our pasuk comes along by Luchos Shniyos and changes and says, no, Moshe was carrying them. Ushnei haluchos beyodi. No, the luchos were in my hands. Says the Chazon Sofer like this. Moshe, he had to carve them out from under his tent. He had to take up these luchos up the mountain, the second luchos. There were six tvachim, by six tvachim, by six tvachim. Did they have any letters on yet? No, Hashem hadn't written on them yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I carried them up. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu could carry the luchos. He could, with his own strength, carry these two heavy luchos. He could carry them out. They weren't kodosh yet. They didn't have the letters on them yet. So from here, says the Chazon Sofer, is a raya. From here, that's telling us, that's why it says, Beyodi. He carried them himself. He took them up the mountain. Hashem wrote on them. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to carry them. If he was able to carry them now, he was able to carry them the first time. And when he says, I came down by the first, with the first luchos, I came down and I smashed the luchos, Hitaka did. And he did it as he always did, as a huge personal risk. Hashem could be very angry with him for smashing the luchos. And in the end, Hashem says, Yashakochacho, Sheshibata, Hashem was happy with him that he broke them. But he didn't know that before. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who was always an advocate for Klal Yisrael, always throughout, always stood up and was ready to risk himself for Klal Yisrael, he did it again. And he said to Klal Yisrael, Sikamti ba'atzmi, I put myself in grave danger, but I did it l'tayvoschem, I did it for your good, as he always did. That's the explains the Shin Elashim, why the first Luchos it says, Ashle Yodah, but here the Torah tells us it was B'yodi, because he carried them in his hand. A good Shabbos.